Talk sports with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle on The Carton Show. Afternoons from 2 to 7 on WFAN. WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
And running on this now, what, Thursday morning? It is Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Your overnight oasis back in effect as we take you up until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, which comes your way then. Of course, it's the number you know, 888-808-1019. We've got plenty to discuss, lots to run through. Football gets back. We get some preseason football tonight. You get the Jets on Friday, the Giants on Saturday. It's only preseason, but it's still, it's football. At the end of the day, it's football. And we got some stuff to talk about with the Jets tonight. A lot of Jets stories going around. A lot of WNBA stories going around. I'm just happy to be here tonight because over these next 3 hours, that will prevent me from being on social media. My social media of choice is TikTok. Love TikTok. I learned so much from it. But somehow, I was on with the morning show the other day, filling in for Jerry. Something has happened to TikTok. It has been overtaken by women who just have no bearing in reality. Like, there's this very high-profile case that's going on up in Boston right now. I'm not sure if it's Boston. It's Massachusetts. I just assume anything that's in Massachusetts is in Boston, but it's in Massachusetts. And it's a terrible story. But to not get too deep into the details, people just can't handle the fact that somebody who's on trial for something, who admitted they are pleading insanity, that they are the person who did the crime. If you're pleading insanity, you're saying, yes, I did it, but I'm not responsible for my actions because I was out of my head at that time. People on social, and I will say this, I enjoy a true crime at times. I enjoy a documentary, and who doesn't love a plot twist every once in a while? But you have to realize that not everything is plot twists. It feels like people are getting their news from a combination of TikTok, Netflix documentaries, and Criminal Mind episode. It's just, and you just point out to them, well, look, if you just Google, they keep thinking that this is a whodunit. It's not a whodunit. We know whodunit. It's just a question of why they did it. Were they in their right mind? Were they not in their right mind? And if the trial basically goes according to form, either the person's going to go to jail or they're going to go to a mental institution. There's no winners, but very, very odd. Very, very odd. So at least I felt like, you know what? My feed was just constantly filled with this story. And I don't go to TikTok for my news. I go to TikTok for my entertainment. I want to see dogs dressed as humans. I want to see cats playing harmonicas. I want to see baby turtles going to the sea. I'm looking for happiness. I'm looking for fun. I want to see a donkey bonding with a human. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just looking for some fun entertainment to get my mind off the world. But my TikTok algorithm, it's deluged me with this. Like, every single swipe, I want to keep getting past. I can't get past it. I've tried different things, and I heard that you can reset your own algorithm. So the algorithm does work by what videos not only you interact with, but which ones you watch. They can kind of tell, hey, he likes this, so, or he or she might like this. They might also like that. And that kind of feeds into your For You page.
I'm pretty sure you just have to delete the app and then redo it again. It doesn't take that long.
It doesn't, but I've heard that you're really starting from scratch. Like, you are now, you're getting hit with every single weird thing that the internet has to offer. And that's not really what I'm looking for either. I just want to get back to what it was like a week ago.
Maybe you, like, if you see one and like it, and then just it will just keep coming and just keep liking those types of videos, because every time I look at a certain person's profile or certain videos, like channel, it would just make, it would just, like, the algorithm would change into, like, that person's sort of, like, genre, I guess.
I thought by blocking people, okay, I just figured, all right, let me just block them. I just block that. I don't want this content. These people are Looney Tunes, so let me just block them. And then eventually the algorithm, this is, it's like the barbarians at the gate. I can't get away from them. It's almost like by blocking them, two new ones pop up. So yes, my wife says, well, just stop using TikTok. I'm like, well, that's like kind of my hobby. I like to scroll on TikTok for an hour or two, sometimes more than an hour or two. Last week, as I mentioned on the morning show the other day, my total for the week was up to 18 hours, a tad high. So I said to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna take a mental health day. I'm not going to go on TikTok at all for the entire day. And we'll see if that kind of, if TikTok realizes, hey, wait a second, this guy's getting a little fed up with this constant stream of this Lindsey Clancy trial. Maybe we'll kind of get him off of that side of TikTok, or at least, you know, just wind it down a little. I don't need every single one. I'm not a juror. I'm not on the trial. I don't need a constant stream of Looney Tunes. And I do mean Looney Tunes. Looney Tune people that are on that app. And I took a full day, didn't go on the app at all, came back now yesterday, Wednesday, went on the app, first thing, boom, back on that trial. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? So at least for the next 3 hours, I know that I will not have to worry about TikTok. I will stay off of it during the show. My addiction is not that bad. But we do have a lot to talk about it. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. And I guess we'll start with the Yankees, because it's not very often that the Yankees go out and score runs. They scored 10 runs in a single game, 10 in one game. It was not a doubleheader. It was just one game, but the Yankees' bats broke out. Some guys who have certainly struggled, the biggest of which, Trent Grisham, had 3 hits, all in the same game. He had 3 hits. 2 of them were home runs. I know this is going to sound like the Looney Tunes on TikTok. But no, this actually happened in real life. Trent Grisham, 3 for 5, drove in 4 runs. The Yankee offense, which fell behind early, were down 3-0. And with the way the Yankees score runs sometimes, it kind of felt like, oh boy, they're really going to be, you know, Will Warren was not very good, so they're going to be fighting an uphill battle. But they fought that uphill battle. They not only got even, but they went blowing right past them because everybody was coming up with hits, basically. Ben Rice had a couple of hits, scored 3 times. Spencer Jones in the 3-hole, 2 hits, drove in 3 runs. Ryan McMahon had a couple of hits. Now he got thrown out on the bases, but he had hits. Those count. Austin Wells had a hit. You know, this is amazing stuff. So the Yankees scored 10 runs. They beat the Mariners 10-5. And the Mariners, which seemed like a team after last year that was on the verge of big things this year, it's just obviously not going to happen, because in the American League this year, with the way things have gone, it's really hard to play yourself completely out of the wild card chase. But against all odds, that's what the Mariners are doing. You know, they've dropped now, I think it's 6 in a row. They're right now, even now, 6 in a row. They're 56-65, so 9 games under 500. And they're still only 4 games out of a playoff spot, which is kind of wild. But it just does not seem like it's going to happen for the Seattle Mariners. So look, Yankees, they go out and they score some runs. Things are starting to feel a little bit better. But, you know, there's always things with the Yankees. And I feel like I straddle a line sometimes where there is a fringe of Yankee fans who live to be miserable. No matter what happens, no matter if they're winning, it doesn't matter. Because when they're losing, it's almost like they're happy because they're losing, because they want to be proven right. But even when they're winning, they're not happy then either. Because that doesn't matter. All that matters is October and the World Series. So there's that fringe of thing. But then there's other things that you hear and see and read, especially on social media, about various guys. So the one that I thought of last night was obviously Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham finally has started to hit a little bit. His numbers here over the last couple of weeks have improved. And I've seen a lot of, well, I hope Yankee fans are going to be willing to take Trent Grisham back in now. Oh, I guess Yankee fans, they don't mind Trent Grisham anymore. Here's the thing. Trent Grisham this year has been terrible. He was a guy after last year, which felt like that contract was a mistake. And at least so far, the way he has played, it has been a mistake. Now, it's better that he's hitting a little bit better now than he was. I'm just trying to pull up his numbers. In the month of August so far, still a little early, but he's slugging 500. That's awesome. That's great. But it's not unfair for Yankee fans to be complaining about a guy who is getting paid $22 million, and when the stars of the team are out, has been terrible offensively. Now, he had some good months this year. May, he was pretty good. June did a decent job. But then in July was kind of unplayable in terms of his offense. I think, what did he have, like a 7-for-80 stretch? That's what we do as fans. When guys are good, especially higher paid guys, are good, we are happy because they're on our team. But when those guys don't perform, like many Yankees have not performed on the offensive side of things, yes, fans are going to complain. So when Trent Grisham, during July, was hitting 165 with a slugging of 305, yeah, Yankee fans are not going to be happy, especially because as the center fielder, it doesn't seem like he can really field that position either. That's not an unfair thing for Yankee fans to be upset about. Now, when he hits, that's great. That's what you, when he's not a first-year player or a second-year, a young player is still kind of, no, he's an established veteran who's getting paid $22 million this season. When Aaron Judge goes down and Cody Bellinger goes down, you're kind of expecting the remaining veterans to kind of pick up the slack, he being one of them. Now, I don't think that most people expected him to have a repeat of last year. He could still have a successful season without having a repeat of last year. But and it always feels like it's not Yankee fans that actually say these things or Yankee fans, because Yankee fans are living it day in and day out. You know, if you had to live day in and day out, and this happens with every fan base. This is not exclusive to Yankee fans. If there are guys who are not performing up to expectations or up to what their contract is, trust me, that fan base is going to be upset about it. Even if the guy is far better than Trent Grisham. Just to give an example, last year when Juan Soto got off to the rough start that he got off to first year as a Met, there was nobody cutting him slack as Met fans. There was nobody saying, it's fine, Juan, we'll get him tomorrow. No, Met fans were upset. You had a guy come in, high expectations, high payroll, did not perform. That's what happened. When Francisco Lindor earlier this year, Met fans weren't complaining about Francisco Lindor earlier this year. And then when they perform, it's not that fans are, oh, I was wrong about it. No, that's kind of what we expect. So for Trent Grisham, this is, I don't know that this is what we expect, but yeah, you have to be like a functioning player, which at a lot of times this year he has not been. And the problem with the Yankees, which is kind of, I don't know that it's exclusive to the Yankees. It feels that way sometimes. The Yankees will just tell you whatever they're going to do anyway. They're not going to change anything anyway. Unless they're really kind of forced to change things, they're just going to stay stuck in their ways like they ordinarily do. So when Trent Grisham is doing what he did earlier this year, and he's batting leadoff and he can't field the position, it's good. So, yeah, it's great that he's performed here the last couple of weeks. That's awesome. But do we really think, given his track record, given his overall season, that this is going to continue? Well, I'll say, if it does, Yankee fans will be more than happy with Trent Grisham. But if it doesn't, they're going to be upset. That's kind of how fandom works. This is not, oh, well, I guess Yankee fans are going to be okay with Trent Grisham now. I guess Yankee fans can stop complaining about the team now. The team, since Aaron Judge went down at the end of May, they've picked it up here because they've won some games. They are now three games over 500. They're still living on the fact of what they did in the start that they got off. Now, all those games count. But it's not an unfair thing for Yankee fans to complain about a team that up until recently was below 500 or right around 500 for months on end in a season where it kind of feels kind of important, right? Like, if Judge comes back or not, the age on the roster, what's coming up with the labor problems after this year, kind of feels like an important season to finally win a World Series for the first time since 2009. So it's not really unfair for fans to be complaining about the performances of players. It's not like Trent Grisham had a bad week. That would be a bit, oh, this guy who's been performing all this time, he has a bad week and people are getting on him. No, Trent Grisham's had a bad season. Now, it's still time to, he could maybe save it. Maybe it's not as bad as that 7-for-80 stretch or whatever it was. But watching him in center field, it's pretty clear he should not be the center fielder anymore. And this is one I'm sure the Yankees are going to push back on because you heard Aaron Boone, I think it was with the Talking Yanks guys, it could have been somebody else, some other podcast, that said, you know, Trent still likes him in center field when we're watching it with our eyes. There was a play last night. Even Will Warren was kind of like animated about the fact that Trent Grisham couldn't get to the ball because he's kind of jogging after the ball. And one of the positives, and I've said this, you know, kind of looking at where the Yankee offense is right now with the guys that are missing, in a perfect world, the Yankees would be in a situation where calling up young players, they would not really be expected to be the focus of the offense, right? George Lombard Jr. is a 21-year-old rookie. Really what you want from him, just come in, feel the position. Any offense you get from him, it's a bonus. Now, that's not necessarily the case with Spencer Jones, but a first time in his first season in the majors. You know, you really should not be expecting him to kind of carry the offense. Unfortunately, those guys are going to be relied upon offensively as well. They're not going to get that easy kind of cushion as first-year players on a largely veteran team, even when the guys who are injured come back. Now, it seems like, I don't know how his introduction to the bases is going, but it seems like that Giancarlo Stanton could be back here fairly soon. It doesn't seem like with Bellinger's timeline, it doesn't seem like he's coming back until September, maybe a little bit earlier than that, but it seems like September is when. But the big question, of course, is Aaron Judge. And I'm hoping for the best, but I'm kind of expecting the worst. And the Yankees now have 42 games remaining in the regular season. The playoffs begin at the end of next month. And for a guy who has been out since the end of May, got injured apparently back in April, has been out since the end of May, and the timeline of what we have remaining, how long he's been out, and where he kind of is in the process, each day that goes by, it seems like that this Yankee group is more than likely going to have to do it without Aaron Judge. You got 42 games to go. And again, I don't know. Maybe they've done another round of testings. Maybe tomorrow we'll get an announcement from the Yankees. You know what? All clear. He's ramping up baseball activities. That would be amazing. I don't think that that's going to happen. And again, I'm not a doctor. Clearly, I'm on the radio at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not a doctor. But he got hurt and has been out since May. The timeline was 4 to 6 weeks re-imaging. See the next step. 4 to 6 weeks came and went. It was at the end of the 6 weeks. They do the re-imaging, and they said there was some healing. Not completely healed, not mostly healed, some healing. That's not a positive. It was painted as a positive. It's not a positive. So then he gets another round of tests, and he's been cleared to do some jogging and some resistance work. Not able to swing a bat, not able to throw a ball. Those are the real tests. So we got 42 games, and we still don't really have when the next step in the healing process and the recovery process is going to happen. We got no timeline on that. So it's great that the Yankees are winning games. That's awesome. At this point, it kind of feels like they're locked into to where they're going to be come postseason time. The Yankees have kept their heads above water. The Red Sox have kind of cooled off. Things have stabilized in terms of that first wild card. There's not really anybody else in the American League that doesn't seem like is going to really I mean, you take a look at the American League standings, and it's kind of like a bunch of teams that are battling for that third wild card. Even as bad as the Red Sox, like the Red Sox have cooled off. They've lost, what was it, 5 in a row now? Even then, it doesn't really seem like they're in any danger of losing their wild card spot. Not, at least not yet. They lose 10 in a row, maybe. But the next, there's not another team in the American League that is over 500 at this point. So the Yankees, they don't have to worry about making the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to catch the Rays. They're kind of secure in the spot that they are. But with the Yankees, it's all about the bigger picture. It's all about the World Series. Can they get to and win a World Series? And there's still things with this club, even it playing better, winning games, that would still have to kind of concern you as a Yankee fan, the biggest of which is their best player still has no timeline, really, at least publicly, to be back anytime soon. And there's 42 games left in the regular season.